This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, the grades are out, and they ain't pretty. Well, part of a spotlight segment on Long Island, I might add, the first of four. Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York. Remember their initiative, reminding politicians they work for you right now. Let's go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Brandon, how are you, sir? The grades are coming out yesterday as far as the schools are concerned here in the state of New York. You know, when you think about the dollars and cents and the taxes and everything else, you know, you expect a little bit more. You actually expect one of the best, at least I do. And you know something? You've got to hold this governor right now under fire for this stuff because, you know, he's responsible as far as the budgets and everything else. We'll get into that in a second. But quite frankly, when you get a C grade and when you look at everything in and around our system, it's just not acceptable.
Well, it's not. And let's dig into the numbers on this one. The American Legislative Exchange Council did a comprehensive study across the country. They looked at factors like the federal rankings on English and math test scores. They looked at graduation rates. What they found is shocker, pays more than any other state in the country, a little bit. And do something like that, you would at least expect, okay, if we're going to pay the most for the pizza or the car or the whatever, we're going to get the best. And frankly, we're not even close. Most of our rankings have us between 19th and 27th. Overall, it was a C, as you said. And again, this is going back to the idea that New Yorkers get stuck with this massive bill, but the quality is just not there. The value that we talk about time and time again, if we're going to pay the most, we deserve the best. And once again, that's not the case.
All right, Brandon, what do we got to do to improve here? Because it's just unacceptable. You know, we've got a teacher retirement system that seems to be gobbling up all the extra funds. We've got services needed galore here. We've got a pension system that's off the chart for the teachers. I mean, what has to be done to improve the core? When I say the core, I mean the system where kids are in it and need to learn. And when they're so far behind, as far as when you compare to other kids around the world and their systems and everything else, what do we have to do to get back on track to improve these grades?
Well, it starts with the budget, and that's just a big piece of it. A lot of people say we need to appropriate more money for the schools. The stats show that we're already putting more money into our schools and getting less out of it. So what I would say, what Reclaim New York talks a lot about, is we need to look at how we're spending these dollars. Are we spending them effectively? Why are we paying more for pencils than the guy next door? And what are the contractual stipulations that lock us into some of these contracts? There's a lot that can be done in that area. But the number one issue that New York needs to address is choice. And this happens to be, of course, National School Choice Week. When you think about any other product on the market, go back to the early 80s and the 1984 Motorola phone, that big old brick. Imagine for a moment that Motorola was the only one to produce phones for the last 30 years, or if Ford was the only one to produce cars. The market shows time and time again, when we give consumers choice, when we give parents choice, the product gets better. In this case, we're talking about the education of our son or daughter. And what could be more important than that? The reality for most New York parents is, of course, they don't have a choice. Their son or daughter has to go to the school because that's the only thing that they can afford, or that's the only one there. There are laws on the books that New York needs to change to make it easier to empower parents with choice, ultimately bringing up the quality all across the state.
No question about it. And the state coming in with a C grade, completely unacceptable. You bring up this budget, a $64.3 million boost in operating funds for next year. That's a 2.3% rise. Nassau-Suffolk, they'll get about $2.86 billion. Not enough, according to many. You know, when you think about it, Brandon Muir, covering about a quarter of overall spending in the region of Long Island. You know, you could blame, as I mentioned before, the teacher's pension system. You could blame the fact that just not enough dollars are covered when you think about all the kids who need all the different kinds of services here. But you're right. It starts with a budget. And if these dollars are not there to cover the gambit, well, it's not going to work. And you're feeling, because of the shortage and what the spending is going to be, how could it work?
Well, it's true. And I think this, again, is where politicians are not keeping their eye on the ball. You know, we just lived through 2017 where everyone wanted to talk free college tuition and how if we just have free college tuition, then everything will be better. But what about the fact that only one in three New Yorkers graduates college ready? What's it going to do when you're those two in three New Yorkers that's not college ready and now you have free college tuition? And this goes back to, again, we are not focusing on the core problems here. They start early, and we need to have systems in place early. We can't just throw money at the problem, which was essentially the governor's idea, and expect that everything's going to be okay. Without going step by step, focusing on where these dollars are being spent, are they being spent efficiently? And we know, of course, they're not. We spend more than any other state in the country. We get less out of it. That's where the core problem is, and that really comes back to citizens saying, let's look at what some of these contract stipulations are. Let's look at some of these buying programs with BOCES and how this money is getting funneled and why we're spending more. Until that happens, no amount of new textbooks or, you know, technology gadgets in the classroom is going to make a bit of difference.
Talking with Brandon Muir about the state of our school school systems all throughout the state, especially here on the island. You know, I look at everything, and you put it all in this salad bowl. I look at the state proposal requiring school systems to report spending on a building-to-building basis. Big debate going on about that, Brandon. I look at the state freeze on local aid, really upsetting a lot of the municipalities. I look at the Hempstead School District in complete chaos there. I even look at the data breach that occurred from Questar, the testing company responsible for Common Core, and the data that was released regarding students. You know, I look at all of this, including the lousy numbers as far as dollars and cents in the budget to Long Island schools, and it's just a recipe for disaster. That's how I'm kind of looking at this right now.
Well, you mentioned a couple important groups here that we should tackle. You mentioned the people providing test scores, right? So elected officials are supposed to hold them accountable. And you talked about a data breach, and we've got to hold public officials accountable on that one. And you talked about underperforming on the test scores, and this goes back to the teachers. The central piece of all of this is the parents' responsibility to raise their child and the parent's responsibility to make decisions on behalf of that child. We can't trust the New York State Legislature to raise our children. We can't trust the district officials, the superintendent. They all play important roles. But the moment we move away from the parent as the sole person responsible for that child's education, we get into a bad place. So what I push all Long Island parents on is you've got to make choices on behalf of your child to think about things like test scores and data breaches and textbooks, because ultimately they're the ones who care the most. We know this, that's obvious, but they're the ones who can really set the path, but they've got to have choices to do that. And when you wake up in the morning and you look at school A, which had the data breach and bad test scores, and school B, which also had a data breach and bad test scores, you don't really have choice. And that is the core failure of the system. We've got to put products on the market that people want to buy, and pretty quickly it becomes obvious. And you see this with the charter schools on Long Island. There's four charter schools now. They've got waiting lists over 1,000 students in Uniondale. New York City has a waiting list of 68,000 students to get on these schools. So if we watch what other parents are doing, we see where the quality is. But we've got to have options for our kids to get there.
Not only that, we're talking with Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York, but it is so important, and you hit it on the head here with parents, because they're the ones that can really, you know, have a voice. And it, to me, it starts, you know, by going to these Board of Ed meetings once a month at your local schools. You know, listen, I used to do it, then I stopped. I realized I really made a bad mistake because it's the voice that counts. You want to be heard. The place to be heard is at your local schools to raise objections and everything else. It has to start there. There's not enough of it, but certainly the message begins at home.
It's true, and it's establishing that rapport with your teacher. It's establishing the rapport with the principal. You know, a lot of this back and forth in the middle, the teachers are the ones that frequently get demonized and the fingers get pointed at them. You know, and I think if we went in there like a tactician and really broke down all the different problems that are built in them, we'd see you've got a lot of people who want to do the right thing, who want to educate our children. But time and time again, they're not put in a position to do so. And the strongest voice that can turn that around is by far always going to be the parents. The onus is on them to get to that school board meeting, to work with the teacher, work with the principals, but also to push the politicians at the same time. We've got to speak up in unison. We've got to say that a C grade, 19th, 20th, 30th, whatever we are in the country now, depending on which ranking you look at, spending the most money, these numbers don't add up. And we have higher expectations because it's our children that we're talking about.
And especially when you have $2.86 billion heading to Nassau and Suffolk counties, enough only to cover about a quarter of the overall spending in the region. That's when you know you're getting shortchanged. We're talking with Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York, about the state of our schools right here in the state of New York, especially on Long Island. Can you believe what is happening in the town of Hempstead these days with Shimon Waronker pretty much ousted as the superintendent, the town board, complete bickering as you'd find in government, as what we're witnessing not only in the national spotlight, local spotlight, even the town board of the Board of Education in Hempstead can't get it together. The students are the ones who suffer. Can you believe the circus that is happening these days in Hempstead, Brent?
Well, I think the worst part of it is that this is not something that's developed over the last 3 months, 6 months, or year. And we're talking about reports going back more than a decade where these problems were identified and effectively no one did anything about it. And again, that goes back to accountability. We can't rely on the powers on high in Albany to cast some spell and expect that superintendents are going to follow orders. Citizen-driven oversight happening locally, happening at those board meetings is what is required. And in Hempstead, it was just not to be seen. I mean, you look at some of these reports coming out and the fact that none of these recommendations to improve the school system were followed. It's shocking. I mean, I don't know if you're a parent with your child in that situation, what you would say, but you know, this is really where they've got to speak up and they've got to push back.
No question. I might even pull them out and put them in private school with all that is going on there. We're talking with Brandon Muir from Reclaim New York. What about the data breach? And we have seen this in Oceanside and in Great Neck with some very important information compromise, and Questar at the center of it all. Of course, they the ones who provide the testing for Common Core. And as we begin and have to look upon another Common Core testing situation coming up April and May, and we'll turn out here regarding Questar. Is there another testing operation to be put in place? I mean, where do education officials, the Roger Tillises, the Marianne Ilias, the Betty Roses, where do they come in and step in and finally say, you know what, there's something really seriously wrong here? Where do they come in and maybe put in an alternative plan finally for Common Core, Brandon?
Well, I think across the board we're seeing that the big idea of Common Core is not panning out. And I think it can be pointed, you know, to a variety of reasons. The lesson plans that we tried to standardize across the country haven't been working the way they wanted. The teachers weren't prepared. The implementation didn't make sense. And now we're to the back end where they're doing these tests, of course, and you've got issues like a data breach. I know that the Attorney General Schneiderman, has opened an investigation into this specific data breach. Let's hope that the contracts with this company, Questar, are going to be tight enough to hold them accountable, and that there's going to be money and consequences in play. But the core, I think, of what this is showing is that you can't apply this sort of top-down method to every school and expect that it's going to work. There's too many differences between populations, between regions, and the idea that we can just thrust this upon every school, if it need be, you know, into a perfect little egg carton, is nonsense. Unfortunately, we're at that point now where we're starting to see the cracks in the system, and this is unfortunately one of those bad outcomes that we're seeing.
And finally, I'll leave you with this, and we've spoken about this many a time regarding consolidation of some of these districts. You know, we see superintendents. We look for leadership in times of despair. We don't see it. I don't see it enough. All I see is the numbers that are attached to these individuals. In essence, $300,000-$500,000 plus in some cases. When, Brandon, do we ever see the light of day here regarding the consolidation of some of these districts?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. It's not how much money we have for education. It's how we spend that money. Let's remind everyone that the state of Florida, which has the same population as New York, right at about 20 million people, 19.5, the state of Florida has a budget of $83.5 billion. New York State has a budget that was just proposed last week of $168 million. We are now officially twice the size of the state of Florida. And yet, we keep claiming we don't have money for education. We have $2 for every dollar their student has in Florida that if we wanted to spend, we could. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem, and that gets to things like consolidation. We have too many schools, and we don't have enough succinct districts in play. And ultimately, unless we start consolidating those, unless we start realizing maybe we don't need two superintendents here and three principals there, we're not going to be in a better place. It's the purchasing power that we aren't using. We're not buying things in bulk through BOCES. There's a variety of ways we can tackle this, but the big piece is that we need the political will to do it. Political will comes from the people pushing on the ground. Attend your town board meeting. Attend your school board meeting. It's the best way to get things done.
All well said. Join the fight to reclaim New York today. Just go to reclaimnynow.org. Always a pleasure, Brandon. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.